Cecil.
Sam reunited, and it feels so good. How we doing, homie?
I shouldn't have left you without a dope beat to step to.
I mean, you could be anywhere in the world, but you're right here with me. Man, happy new year for you.
Oh man, I am excited about the new year. Did your new year end pretty well? Did you?
So my 2022 ended great. My 2023 has started off amazing. Holidays were an absolute blast. As I think we shared in our last pod, we were arguing or debating if we both were going to be doing matching pajamas with our significant others. And I am proud to say that I have to eat my words. You said you weren't going to do matching pajamas. And part of me believes that you did match your pajamas. You just didn't do the pictures.
So I'm going to tell you something that's funny, right? When you did your matching pajamas or whatnot, and I didn't have to do mine. And then I was like, yeah, told Nikki I wasn't doing that matching pajamas. And she was like, really? So y'all had a bet going? I said, not a bet. She like, if I'd have known that, I would have made sure we did it. I said, well, that's why I didn't tell you.
See how you do? But no, you stood by it, and you know, kudos to you. I, on the other hand, we posted our matching pajamas and our holiday pictures. And the funny thing about the holiday pictures were they were like, we originally were going to hire a photographer and do, you know, the shoot and all this other fun stuff. Mm-hmm. But time got away from us and we still wanted to do it. So it was like, okay, let's do it. So we literally put up a ring light. Mm-hmm. We put up the ring light. We used the iPhone and snapped the pictures. And he's such a trooper because when he got home, he literally was exhausted, was over it, was tired, but was like, yep, let's do the pictures. Let's change clothes. So we both change our clothes. We get dressed. And now it's time to put on our shoes.
Right.
And he looks at me and I look at him and he's like, do we have to do shoes? I was like, these are our pictures. We don't have to do anything we don't want to do. And if you notice in our holiday photos, he's wearing socks and I am barefoot and we are comfortable. And the picture still came out 3 fire emojis.
Oh yeah, it was fire.
Yeah. As the young folks say, you know, fire. Ate so much, gained a lot of good weight in December. 7 of which I have already burned off 7 pounds of all the holiday fun I had.
Congratulations.
So like for Christmas, I literally said, I'm not doing anything for Christmas. We don't have to travel. You know, everybody's with parents or grandparents. So it was just, you know, literally just me and him chilling. And then he started cooking so much food. He cooked so much food to the point where he's like, well, maybe we should invite some people over. So we did. And it was about 8 of us for Christmas. Had a good time, played spades. Watched, you know, good TV, football. Everybody, you know, is kiki and ha-ha-ha. Eggnog and Crown is flowing. Just a really good time. And then the following week, same thing happened. We were kind of like, oh, well, it'll just be us for, you know, the New Year holiday. And then, of course, we have too much food. So what do? We invite people over. So we ended up hosting impromptu. But, you know, I don't regret it. We had an amazing time. It's always good to connect with your people, you know, and coming into 2023, you know, we have been extremely focused, trying to participate in Dry January, meditating, vision boards, writing out goals, you know, going through our song and dance to, you know, manifest the things we want for this year. What did you guys get into?
So we participated in a little bit. Well, okay. So we was like, well, you know, we really like each other. So we need to go ahead and let the families meet so we can just kind of get all this out the way, just flush all this out the system real quick. So I don't know if you know this about me, nigga, but I'm actually like somewhat of an introvert, right?
No. Yeah, you?
It's true. It's true. It's true. I don't like a lot of human contact, right? Like, I'm good a little bit on social media, but even with that, I don't put too much of my business out on social media, mm-hmm. right? Right. Mm-hmm. So, I'm a bit of an introvert. I don't like a lot of human contact, right? You know, Chance sucks a lot of it out of me, so I don't have a whole lot left. Now with a girlfriend, you know, I'm running on E a lot of times with this human contact situation. So, you know, so, and I am a bit of a Grinch during Christmas time. So,
yes, you are.
I'm a Grinch. So, I met her mom, her stepdad, and we did a big thing at my house so she can meet my mom, my brother, his girlfriend. And we did another thing where we went to my grandparents' compound. She calls it a compound. I was like, I don't think it's a compound. It's just sitting on 80 acres. I mean,
no, nothing major. Just a light work.
So, you know, we did a big family thing out there so she can meet them for the first of the year. So, I'm not going to lie, Nikki, I don't really want to see another group of people for a while. Like, I'm just like, cause people try to send me tickets to the Cheez-It Bowl. Yeah, the Cheez-It Bowl when Florida State played Oklahoma. And I was like, dude, I'm sorry. I can't. I don't want to go. I don't want to be around nobody. I don't want to see anybody. They were like, really?
You were tapped out. You were tapped out from Christmas and then preparing for the New Year function. You were tapped out.
Yeah, I didn't have any more to give. So, so we did that. And she cooked for Christmas, which was very cool, unique experience. And the food came out really good, right? I was concerned. You know, it wasn't going to be a deal breaker.
She can cook. I don't know why you're concerned. What are you talking about?
I was concerned.
About?
I didn't know if she could cook or not. So, you know, she was like, I'm going to cook for Christmas. I'm like, well, you don't have to. I'll tell you what, I could bring some food up. She's like, nah, I'm going to cook. I'm like, all right, well.
You know, so like, God, I got to eat this, even if I don't like it.
I was a little terrified. Like, should I eat before I go over there? If I go now in, it's not good.
It's funny.
Should I pretend I got to go home? So, but the food came out really good. And, I really appreciate her throwing down for Christmas. So, and on the first of the year, you know, we hung out, drank champagne. Everybody drank champagne. Even gave Chance a little squiggle.
All right, let's go. Chance bringing in the new year. We love to see it.
You talking about that? This tastes different. I'm like, yeah, it's not your
It absolutely does, son. You are right.
So we did you're that. Right. So that was good. So, you know, now we're making further plans to deepen and intertwine our lives together now and coming into this new year. So
I know, look excited. At us growing up at our big age.
Yeah. I'm excited. So last time we was on, mm-hmm. we had some football conversations, you know, somebody may have picked the Saints to go to the Super Bowl.
Who did it?
Just saying, I know sometimes you tell me to check the tape on things, but I didn't go check the tape on this one, so I don't know who said it, but somebody may have.
that was me. I will be a big girl and I will own that. I made some bold predictions and you as well.
I did as well. I thought maybe Alabama might have been a Death Star, but they only won 11 games this year, not 15. So,
oh, you know. Poor them.
Yeah, poor them. Yeah, they're having a crisis over there too.
Oh, yeah. They say that Nick literally, you know, they out of control, told Nick to get him back in the fold and, you know, yeah.
It's boys just ain't hungry happening. Like they used to be, Nick.
Yeah. Told him to take all them cars away and whatnot.
But anyway, last night we watched the crowning of Georgia back to back national champions.
So kudos to you because you did say that Kirby was going to have him back.
Yeah, I felt like they was gonna get back. I thought Ohio. I mean, as the season went, I was thinking with Florida, Alabama, but it just seemed like Alabama was just missing something. I mean, they was missing.
Yeah,
something.
I think they said that Bryce is one of the best quarterbacks to never win the Natty. Right? He's one of the best Alabama quarterbacks that will never win a national.
It's insane that he didn't win a national championship, though. It's kind of insane when you think about it. Like. But that just tells you just how great Georgia has been over the last 2 years.
We had the conversation that Kirby and his staff recruited so well that no matter when he had Fromm and he had Fields and fumbled, of course, fumbled Fields and all that other good stuff, it got to the point where people weren't concerned. I'm sorry, they weren't heavily concerned because Kirby and staff were recruiting so well that no matter what he did from an idiotic standpoint of play calling or whatever, he has enough talent to compensate for any of those dumbass plays he calls, right? Like when you have that type of defensive line or that type of movement on your offensive line, you're never going to be, you know, not considered a top contender. And I think the thing that we're all mad at right now is that Georgia is literally saying, oh, people had us going 7-5 and people had us losing 3-4 games. And I'm like, who are these people? Nobody had you guys losing 7 or 4 games. I mean, 4 to 5 or 7 games. Nobody said that.
Yeah, absolutely, it's insane. Nobody. It's insane. They're crazy. People knew Georgia was going to have a good football team. Now, what the level of great was that football team going to be? You know, nobody knew that. But, you know, I'm not going to lie, though. Bennett was better this year than he was at any time last year. He was a big
part of the reason. He's 30 years old. Well, he's 30. Too, like, he's playing against a whole bunch of 18 to 22 year olds. He better be good. He better be perfect.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, though, you know, it wasn't like an AJ McCarron type situation where you felt like, you know, you probably could plug any quarterback in that situation and win. I mean, Bennett was a reason why they won, you know, a couple games, like when they beat Tennessee and when they beat Ohio State and when they what they did to TCU was really ungodly. Like, I mean,
okay, can I make you laugh though? Because legit, when I tell you, Sam, we had plans to watch the Natty. It was like, okay, we're not going out, we're gonna stay in because we know everybody's out, you know, here in Atlanta. What, basically everybody here in Georgia is going out to watch the Natty. Okay, cool. So we decide to stay home. You know, we eat, we watch a little bit of TV, the game comes on. And in the beginning, it seems very competitive. So we're all kind of, you know, we're just hype. I'm texting people and whatnot. Like, I don't think this is going to be, you know, what y'all think it is. I think, you know, TCU came to play. And it looked that way until about the middle of the second quarter. I mean, the first quarter. Yeah. And it was like, this is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. And it's like, this is going to be a very long night. Like, you could tell in the first quarter that it was going to get out of control to the point where my person was like, I'm only staying up because I want to see the Ant-Man trailer.
Because I want to see Kang. Everybody wanted to see Kang. You know, it was just like, well, what time does Kang come on? When are they going to show the Kang?
Legit, when we woke, okay, so and all jokes aside, we fell asleep. So yeah. When we woke up and we saw the score, we were like, is that a typo? Sam, it got absolutely crazy. I don't even know who watched that game from beginning to end. I had people, my people who are UGA alum, who didn't even watch the whole game because they were like, this is getting boring. They just tuned back in to see them hoist the trophy and everything, right, in the post-game interviews. But it was one of the worst national championship games ever.
It's one of those things where college football delusion is an amazing thing, and it sells a lot of tickets. It creates a lot of excitement. But, I mean, when we watch the playoffs, how many times do we get 3 good games in the college football playoffs? It rarely ever happens. Usually, most of the time, we get 1 game, maybe 2 good games in the college football playoffs. But we never get 3 good games where we feel like, man, these four teams are so talented, they going at each other. Like, it's normally 1 or 2 blowouts, right? Like, okay, that game's over before it got started. I mean, we watch Alabama blow out Kyler Murray's team. We watch LSU blow out Clemson's team. We watch Clemson blow out an Alabama team. Last year, Alabama Georgia was a pretty good game going into the
fourth. Last year the national championship was a good game.
Yeah, but by the time we got to the fourth quarter, it was 33-18. You know what I'm saying? It was 33-18 by the end of that game. That game was like over by like
third quarter.
3 minutes. Yeah, like I mean, and I keep telling people this, and people can take it how they want to take it, but it's not NFL. You can't spread. They don't spread around enough talent to have 5 good teams that's gonna, you know, go back and forth with counter punches and really get something. Like, it's always going to be one or two very dominant football teams in college football, because the dominant football teams continue to get the dominant football players.
Here's the other thing too, though, right? It's only going to expand, so it's going to get worse, right? Yeah. So it's only going to get worse, where there's going to be five SEC teams, and then there's going to be like three Big Ten teams, and, you know, two other teams from two other conferences, and it's going to be absolutely crazy. Everybody thinks by expanding the playoffs, we're going to get better games, but I don't believe that. I mean, the two semifinal games were 10 times better than what we watched last night, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Even though those games were good, the semifinal games were good, when we saw it was going to be TCU in Georgia, it was kind of like, oh God. like, oh God, this is really what we're doing. But we watch because we love college football. Now, the thing that I think we have to get better with as fans is, you know, we have to understand what system is going to work best. Because I think a lot of us want to go back to BCS, where the computers control it. A lot of people like the format where there's the committee and they get to, you know, do the rankings by their different methodologies. But expanding it and not having a true system which will validate, you know, top tier teams or stronger teams, it's going to continue to be this way, where we're going to see blowouts in a national championship game.
But, you know, the biggest problem is, how do you... It's like the NFL, right? If you win the national, if you win the Super Bowl, you get the last pick, right? The players on the team want more money on that team because they Super Bowl champions. So you have a salary cap where you only can spend so much money. What puts the team on equal footing? College football's not like that. If you're Alabama, you're Georgia, you're USC, you get to spend as much money as God allows.
Yeah, you're not recruiting the same kids.
Right, and then if, guess what? When you win a national championship, you still get the first 10 picks. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's true.
So it's just one of those things where I think the only thing that's going to bring some type of paradox shift is maybe if you start saying, hey, after 1 year, elite high school players, after 1 year can go pro, where you can't, because I mean,
you can't do that, Sam. They're going to get killed.
Well, I'm just saying,
get killed at the next level.
Well, I get that part, but I'm saying that's the only thing I can see that can make it even, because like Brock Bowers finna play another year of college football. This dude has been the best.
Sam Hartman is about to play another year of college football.
Yeah, but like, Brock Bowers is like legitimately like a top 10 NFL pick playing tight end, and he's been that way for the last 2 years, and he still has another year. You know what I'm saying? It's ridiculous.
I mean, but again, we're talking about two different talent levels though, right?
Yeah.
So I think that you have to take that in consideration, because if you throw Stetson Bennett into the NFL, which, you know,
yeah,
is not going to happen, but you throw him in the NFL, two sacks in, he's going to be snapped in two. Like,
it's not,
you can't let these kids go to the next level without proper development and common sense. But even on top of that, you know, I think you and I have this conversation often. I love college football because these kids are hungry. These kids are, you know, energized. I feel like there's a different type of hunger from the collegiate level to the professional level, right?
Right.
But in wanting to be a true fan of the game and wanting to see excellent football, even on the collegiate level, the national championship has let me down, I would say, more than it's excited me.
What do we have? How many national championship games have we had so far? What do we have? Six?
You talking about with the committee?
Yeah, with the Final Four, the playoffs.
No, because 2014 was the first year where we played Oregon, and then Florida State played Oregon, and Alabama played Ohio State. So that was what, 2014.
So we've had about 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean,
and we've had out of those 8 years, what, there were like five SEC champions, and like, right. Clemson won two, I think, right?
Yeah, Clemson won two. Alabama, Georgia don't. I mean, Georgia, Bama got what, three or four of them, and Georgia,
yep, Georgia,
got two back
LSU.
To back. LSU got one, and now you got Ohio State has one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the blue bloods are going to be the blue bloods in this sport, man. And people can not like it, get mad about it. You know, I found some of them.
I mean, I like the fact that TCU got in. I'm not mad. They beat Michigan.
I thought they was one of the most deserving teams. I thought the Big 12 had a good conference. I thought the fact they was undefeated in that conference and only lost in the championship game, I thought they deserved to be in. I don't know who else you would have put in there and thought. I mean, Alabama had beat Georgia, maybe, but we watched Alabama this year fumble all over themselves and couldn't block a lot of people this year. So I don't know how much of a difference that game would have really made.
Indeed. But, you know, again, I think last night's game is forgettable. You know, congratulations to all the Georgia fans, alumni, and everyone who supports them. God bless your hearts. Not sure what they're going to do next year. But again, Kirby has recruited so well that, you know, again, they'll probably be a top contender again. But
what he's shown is that he don't need a great, great quarterback to win, because he's recruited just
somebody who is serviceable.
Just serviceable. Don't throw the ball to anybody and just, I mean,
throw to your team and not the other team.
You know what I have found funny, though, since we just talking about college football? I found a conversation around coaches in college football that don't win national championships weird, right? Like, it's this contingent of people. Like, like right now, Lincoln Riley taking a lot of beating right now, right?
Oh, my God. Did you see that fool is bringing Grinch back, Alex Grinch back as his DC?
Yeah, I did see that. That was weird. But people keep calling him a bad coach all of a sudden. Like, oh, well, he's overrated. Da, da, da. I'm like, well, how many 11-win seasons do Lincoln Riley need to have to be considered a good coach? Like, how is it overrated to win 11 games every year?
Unrealistic expectations. People wanted Nick Saban fired for losing 2 games.
I just find it just, you know, like, it's like only one team is going to win a national championship every year. You know what I'm saying? So if you're consistently making the college football playoff, I mean, this was Lincoln's first year. So I don't even know. And I don't give coaches a complete mulligan their first year. But I feel like if your first year you win 10 games, I think you've done a good job, because you've probably taken over a bad program. You gotta instill,
you know, your offense, your defense, your culture. Yeah. These things take time. And
if you win,
you're winning with players that are not even your own, right? Winning with, you know, athletes that were recruited by another coach to fit what they were doing versus, you know, truly versus what you really want, what you want to recruit. Like, he brought a lot of talent with him as well. Let's not act like he didn't bring some people from Oklahoma. And because he's Lincoln Riley, he was able to get a couple of his recruits into the last signing class for USC, but not, you know, fully. But for him to do what he did in California and I mean, in LA, I'm not mad at it. He shouldn't have lost to Utah twice, right? But here we are. And what, their bowl game, I think they lost on the last play.
Yeah,
he won, I mean – you know, I'm always going to cape for Lincoln Riley.
I don't think it's a cape, though. I mean, like.
But, you know, as fans, we just have unrealistic expectations.
I just find it weird how what people consider good coaches and bad coaches in college football has become this really odd conversation amongst these coaches and what people talk about these coaches. Like,
and we're having these conversations from the couch. Like that, yeah, we have to also acknowledge that, right?
It's weird, man. It's just weird. Like, I remember when Brian Kelly lost to Florida State the first game, and
they were ready to say he's a wash.
Yeah, the LSU contingent was just kind of like, what the hell? This guy don't know what he's doing. It was all this and that. And, you know, he just ho-hum, got him into the SEC West champ, got him into the, made him SEC West champs. And you know, I'm like, it's like every game. For coaches and for players, sometimes, depending on the player, is some huge damn indictment that is they in over their head. They're overrated, they're in over their head, or they're the best thing ever.
And it's literally, we don't have enough to go off of, right? I think everybody is just going off of Brian Kelly and the debacles at Notre Dame, and not making excuses, but, you know, to even get into Notre Dame, they make no concessions for their athletes, right? Yeah. There's an academic standard that's there in order to get them there. So the academic standards in the state of Louisiana are a little different. LSU has shown a great commitment to committing all types of debauchery in order to win. But once Brian Kelly got in his groove, him and Jaden Daniels were clicking, and you know, they went on a good little win streak, and you know, then the tone changed about Brian Kelly, right? But you know, I think we're all prisoners of the moment. We see different things happen. Like, people have been coming in my mentions for a couple of weeks now, asking me to admit that I was wrong about Mike Norvell. And I'm like, please leave me alone before I start talking about your enlarged foreheads. But needless to say, you know, but
even the conversation around him is kind of weird to me too. Like, I mean, I think he did a good job this year. Right. I can't say
I believe there was improvement. That's what we want to see. We want to see improvement. I'm also a realist in saying we play in the ACC. So our competition is different. Not that it's trash, but it's different. And a lot of things that we were able to do in the ACC, we would not get away with in any other conference. But
it's bad, though. I mean, we talking about the ACC. It's bad. It's terrible because, and I'm not even saying this to be funny, but it's like, you know, FSU, you know, pretty much got, we was at the Clemson game together, right? We saw that. Yep. We saw that debauchery, right? So then they go play Tennessee, who has their backup quarterback, right? Who Milton can't really play. We don't think Milton's any good. And they dog walk Clemson. Like, it was not a big problem. You know what I'm saying?
At all.
Up and down the field, no problem whatsoever.
It was moving with ease.
Yeah. And then you watch TCU. TCU blew out a healthy, engaged Oklahoma team, blew them out like it was not a game. Then they play Florida State with backup offensive linemen, and we are fighting for our lives out there.
Johnny Wilson has to make a miracle catch for a first down us to win.
It's levels to it, and you can just see that the money is starting to catch up with ACC, and teams, our elite teams, are not really quite in the same tier of other conferences' elite teams anymore. And that's sad, you know, but at the same time, it is what it is. I mean, FSU fans are going to be happy about the 10 wins, and I'm happy about the 10 wins, but like I told somebody, like, if you put Clemson, if Florida State win the conference next year or Clemson win the conference next year, and they do get the opportunity to play in the playoffs, and they have to play Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, I mean, I'm pretty sure they're going to be one of those teams that get 55 points put on them. You know what I'm saying?
And I ain't even going to hold you. I know we're going to jump on the Listen Up pod to do some recaps and whatnot, and do a deep dive into Florida State football and the upcoming spring expectations. But I'm going to be honest and say, you know, I wouldn't be mad if we just go ahead and start booking our hotel reservations for Pasadena for the Rose Bowl. Would not be upset for us to, you know, I think CJ was tweeting, shout out to CJ Wilson. I think it's CJ Wilson. What is it? CJ Wilson 80, CJ Wilson 85, I think. Follow our homeboy. He was like, yeah, go ahead and book your trip for Orlando. Go ahead and book for Houston. And I was like, okay, so we're very confident. Right. But, you know, I'm excited to see what college football brings us. And in our two early predictions, I know that, you know, we got J-Trav for the Heisman race. We got a couple of different things happening in recruiting. Looks like Patrick Surtain Senior will be joining our staff as a secondary coach. I think that announcement came out today. But I say all that to say, back to the macro point, is we just want good college football. We want something that, you know, will keep us entertained, something that is not being forced down our throats by people who can't truly vote or agree on keeping it to a 14 format, only to expand it to make sure more SEC teams get in and win. But keep pushing your agenda, guys. We pivot to our next topic, Sam and I were on the timeline. And of course, you know, finding our motivation for 2023 and perusing all things Florida State sports, we came across a couple of tweets that we were sharing with each other in reference to colorism. Sam, I joined Twitter in September of 2009. I am on my second account. Had a little mishap with the first one. Missed a lot of those bookmarks and those good tweets, but here we are. Kind of had to start over again. But even as I look back on a lot of these things that are popping up on the timeline, I must have been following different people because I am totally confused at all the anger and the hate and the recklessness of the tweets towards dark-skinned Black women.
I don't know nothing about that.
I know you don't want to talk about it. I know you don't want to speak on it. I get it.
You know, that I'm going to tell you something, man. That this you is undefeated. This you. When somebody this you. When somebody this quote, you, quote unquote, this you.
This you is one of the best type of things to happen.
I could have sworn we talked about colorism on this pod, though. I could have sworn we had this conversation.
We did. But I think our previous topics around colorism was mainly around preferences, right?
Right.
The reason why I bring this up now is because, like, the tweets that I'm reading are filled with hate. It's not even a preference type of thing. It's literally, I guess for me, it's hard to understand coming from a Black woman and having the nerve or the audacity to say some of the things about Black women just because they have a darker skin tone. And you know what I say, it all goes back to slavery. Everything in reference to, you know, colorism and how we treat each other and these different things all goes back to slavery. Shout out to Kenya Barris. But I say that to say, seeing some of these tweets like, you know, Emmett Till didn't flirt with white women for you guys to be going out here and wifing up dark skinned Black girls, or, you know, I would kill myself if I was with a dark skinned Black woman, or if no one in the world wanted me but a dark skinned Black woman, I'll just kill myself. And I'm like, you guys were tweeting this. Like, and again, I know people grow, people mature, their tones change and things of that nature. But the one specific example I'm citing is this gentleman by the name of Chef Way, I believe. And you know, you and I enjoy good rebrands when people, you know, present as one thing and then they come back as a totally different character or under a totally different guise than their previous, you know, tweets, thoughts, and mindsets. We love a good rebrand. However, absolutely, this gentleman was so vicious towards a lot of Black women, to the point where he was making this amazing oxtail recipe. I think he was making oxtail pasta, and people were like, not you, like, you literally, and I mean, they found his old tweets, even to the point where his mom had to come on Twitter and clear up and say that she didn't raise him to be this type of man who says these different things about dark-skinned Black women or Black women, period. He came on there just trying to, you know, get his rebrand on to be a chef, and people did not let him forget the hateful and harmful things that he said about Black women.
Oh man, I don't know, man. I think people do things to be funny, and a lot of the stuff that people find humor in is malicious, nasty, and vile shit.
Yep.
And I don't know what that say about us as a society.
Yeah, I don't
I don't know what that says. I don't know.
And I think that's my point, right, Sam? Is like, you come from a Black woman. Like, I find it really, and not saying that all Black women are perfect. That's not what I'm saying. And I know that Black women have things we have to work on. I know that, you know, we do a lot in our communities. I know that we do a lot for the people in our family. I know I am notorious for saying that Black women are born into this world already having the plight of having to deal with our hair from birth, and having to shoulder and burden all the things of the world soon as we are born. However, comma, I just find it hateful. I find it, you know, just totally absent-minded for any individual to have that amount of hate for someone just because of the color of their skin, but yet and still hates racism, right?
Yeah.
You hate when people discriminate against you as a Black person, but you're the same person spitting things about other Black people and degrading them because they of something they can't control.
Right. Yeah, it's one of the most amazing things. And it's like self-hate. You know, Black people been taught to self-hate each other, though. You know, to hate one another and everything. That's what's so sad about it. And we won't unteach ourselves this stuff. And I just find it weird that you would just type on the internet, like, to be that kind of like vile towards Black women. I mean, you see it all day with Black women doing it towards Black men. And it's just be like, damn, man, why don't y'all go outside and like touch a little grass, like take in a little sunset.
Man, you know, go get like some fresh air. Go get some fresh air. Make some friends. Have some conversations. Yeah. Put the phone down.
You know what I'm saying?
Because even in the group chat is notorious for saying, you know, the internet isn't real. Like Twitter is not real. A lot of the ideas and thoughts, for example, you know, there's a lot of women who do bash Black men, but off of the internet, they fixing plates and fixing drinks and ironing clothes. And I'm telling you, and I'm so glad I've never been one of those women to literally, you know, do that. I don't bash Black men. I don't bash Black men publicly, number one. And if there are Black men that need to be held accountable, I'm thankful that I have a group of friends that do that. My group of friends don't deal with deadbeat dads. They don't deal with people who are, you know, deep in the trenches, who are lying and doing things. If anything, the majority of my male friends are all amazing fathers, which I'm proud and happy to say. I will also say, you know, the majority of them are married to Black women or have good relationships with Black women, regardless of if they pass the paper bag test or if they are, you know, deep chocolate, right? But it's one of those things where you read it and it's like, how did someone ever find this funny?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Somebody had put a date to my who gonna be the main character on Twitter today. I say, I don't know who it is, but it's gonna be some Black man somewhere.
My official goal is to never be that main character.
Don't be the main character on Twitter.
That's it. That's literally it. I do not want to be the main character. But yeah, I do say that to, you know, just bring attention to it, right? We got to do better. Just as a people all together.
Let me ask you a question, though, because I used to be of this when I was younger, when I was like, I'm talking about like younger, like 12, 13, 14 years old, right?
Adolescent.
Adolescent, yeah. I used to always think like the epitome of beauty was like a red woman, a red Black woman.
A light skin, a red bone. Yeah.
Right. Then as I got older, I'm like, dude, all Black women look good. Dark skin ones. You know what I'm saying? Like,
we are so beautiful that we come in multiple shades and tones. You know, how
so
blessed.
I was kind of like, wonder where did that come from? I think, well, maybe it's the rap music. Maybe it was the music. Maybe it was the imagery on television and stuff. Maybe
no, remember, you would hear people saying, I want my baby to have good hair. So I'm going to marry a light skin this or a light skin that. Now,
yeah,
I will tell you, growing up with my grandparents, right? God bless the dead. My mom, my grandmother, who I call my mom, you know, Indian ran deep through her. Like there were times where my mom's eyes would be green. They would be hazel. And when she was younger, she was so light that she could pass. As she got older and passed, meaning that she could actually pass as a white woman. And as she got older, her skin got darker, but never dark, you know, where you could not tell that she had some, she was mixed with something. All the women in my family are light skinned. All of them are red bones. I am the darkest shaded woman in my family. And they were not, you know, big on color, right?
Right.
It was always the cousins and the external family that would let me know that I am the darkie of the family, or let me know that, you know, I wasn't as cute because my cousin, I can't use names, but that my cousin, because she's light skinned, she's cuter, or that she's more preferred over me, and, you know, this, that, and the other. But there was never a time in my life where I felt like my color played a role into something until I got to high school and you would actually hear boys say, I want my baby to have good hair. Or, you know, when I get married, I'm going to marry me a Spanish woman or Hispanic woman because, you know, that means my baby's going to be pretty, or, you know, things like that. And, you know, I know colorism is rooted in that, and pretty privilege and all these other things that go into it. But, you know,
pretty privilege is a real thing.
Oh, no, it absolutely is a real thing, right? And more attractive people tend to, you know, benefit more out of life. That is statistically proven. But, you know, I say all of that again to say I have not spent time downgrading another woman because of her skin tone or because of her complexion. I don't see it. And it kind of hurts my heart, right? Because now I have to have conversations with my mentees, the girls that I mentor at a younger age, to let them know at all times that they're beautiful, that they're pretty, and that, you know, you don't need to do any skin bleaching, or you don't have to do that. I shouldn't be telling teenage girls about bleaching or stopping, you know, stop bleaching their skin. I shouldn't have to tell them that, you know, you don't have to be light skinned to be considered pretty.
Right.
But it's, you know, I feel that it's okay to have a preference. I feel that when you have to down another group or class of people,
right,
in order to state your preference, that's where the issue lies. But, you know, that's this whole colorism thing has to stop, man. I don't know who's the person lead on that platform, but to see all these tweets is just crazy to me. And that just leads me into like our next topic, right? Our outlook for 2023. We keep saying that, you know, as Black people, we have to do better. What are some things that you would want to see in 2023 for us as Black people to improve upon, or just even individually yourself? What are some things that you want to see happen in 2023 or make happen in 2023?
I would like for people, this is going to be funny because I'm going to talk about something that I actually participate in, but
let's go.
I don't think everything need to be content. I don't think everything needs to be content. I want us to be okay with things not being content.
Yeah, everything doesn't have to be recorded. Everything doesn't have to be captured. I don't need all these fake scenarios of $200 dates or whatever.
You don't have to get mad and show out in front of a camera. You don't have to. Everybody's not on Real Housewives. Everybody's not on. It's okay to take it down a few notches, people. Okay? Mm-hmm. It's okay. It's like, you're not a big deal. It's okay. You know what I'm saying?
So, and that goes into main character syndrome, right? Everybody believes they're the main character.
Yeah. I think over the last 2 years, and I'm gonna blame COVID. I'm not gonna even blame y'all as people. I'm blaming COVID. I think everybody wanted some attention coming out of the lockdown. And I think we need to come on out of this now. It's time to stop, okay? Like, you don't have to record everything. You know, everybody don't need to know what's going on in your life that's good or bad. Some of that shit is just show business.
Yeah, everybody wanted the attention and validation.
Yeah, but that's one of the main things. And my thing would be this year is that I'm actually working on being more selfish with my time, and
you preaching now,
and a little bit more deliberate with the things that I decide to do. So that's a big thing for me.
Yeah, I'm with you on that content piece, and I'm with you on the time management piece as well. The one thing that I want us to do better as a people in 2023 is, you know, the birthday party things, right? I get so tired of everybody saying, oh, I invited people to my birthday party and nobody showed up, or I invited people to this function and nobody pulled up, or whatever the case may be, because I think people are having a very hard time being friends with other adults. And I know it's not always easy for other people to make friends at their big ages. And I do, again, think COVID played a role in that, right? Where a lot of people came together or closer during COVID and, you know, either enriched their friendships or realized some of these friendships were not serving them. People were able to, you know, move on and move forward. But, you know, I get so tired of people saying, oh, I invited these people to my birthday party and nobody showed up, or I invited, you know, 40 people and only 5 people showed up, because that makes me look at you and say, well, are you a horrible person? Are you a terrible person? Like, I cannot tell you, and I'm so thankful for my friend group.
Right.
I cannot tell you how many events I've thrown or how many parties that I want to throw where people are like, you're Virgo, I know you want to control everything, just tell me how I can help, or what I can pay for, or what I can do. Like, people literally will, you know, trip over themselves to help me for my events, or to help me for, especially my birthday, because, you know, it's the only national holiday in August. But, you know, I say that because I pride myself on my friendships. I pride myself on the relationships that I've built with people. But, you know, in 2023, if you're having any events or you're, you know, struggling to figure out if people are going to show up for you, I think that's a good time to take, you know, this year is a good time to take inventory of yourself and realize what you need to work on to be a better human or to be a better friend so people can show up for you. Another thing that I personally am working on in 2023 is saying no. Because like I just said a few moments ago, I pride myself on showing up for my friends or being there. But there are times where I just want to say no. I don't feel like I need to give you any other explanation, because like my dad told me, no is a complete sentence. N-O, period. So it's January and I've already said no to certain things. People have asked me to do this or to plan that for them or to do this. And I'm like, are you asking me to plan your brunch or your birthday or this event because you want to be able to say that you didn't do it yourself or that somebody planned it for you? Or, you know, like, what messaging are we sending here? Right. But, you know, my whole thing is I just say no, because I feel like I have built up enough currency in the friend bank.
Right.
That if I tell you no, that it should be okay. And you shouldn't be mad or you shouldn't be upset. Because, you know, I always show up for you. And the one time that I don't, I should be able to use my get out of jail free card. I should get a pass on that. But, you know, I'm so excited for 2023, making some big adult life changing decisions. But I'm happy for it. Happy about it. And I want people to understand that instead of always being busy or booked and busy, I want us to focus on being productive. I want us to focus on ROIs instead of, you know, rise and grinding and, you know, I sleep, you know, I work while y'all sleep, and while y'all sleep, I'm making money and this, that, and the other. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know? But I want us to focus on being productive versus being busy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's important, man. That's important. I might have to add that to my list. So
yeah, add it to the vision board. Add it to the vision board. So yeah, you know, I'm excited that we are kicking off season 4. I mean, look at us. Who would have thought we'd be here?
Woo.
You know, YouTube channel is growing, subscriptions are still, you know, coming in, the likes are coming in. Sure. You know, we appreciate the engagement, because again, our pods would be nothing without our listeners. You know, we're just thankful that you guys entertain the fact that we just get on here and ramble sometimes. about things we know about and things that we think we know about. But you know, for 2023, our focus is going to be getting better and putting out quality content versus the quantity or number of pods. We want to be able to make sure that when you listen in, that we're tapping on subjects that matter to you, as well as giving us an opportunity to share our different viewpoints and experiences. So 2023 is going to be great.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So people be productive. Next episode, I think we'll talk about what we're watching.
I got some great shows I'm watching right now. And we're preparing for NBA All-Star break, because you know we take NBA extremely serious after the All-Star break, because that's when the real season begins.
I look forward to y'all tweets. I can see y'all simmering up a little bit on Twitter.
Yeah, we got to also tap into the playoffs and our upcoming Super Bowl predictions, because as you called me out earlier, I had the Saints going.
My guy Shannon is still alive.
Kyle Shanahan is literally a cat. This man has like 9 lives. I don't know how he continues to pull the rabbit out of the hat. Like, I don't.
He's on his third quarterback. He's on his third quarterback.
And winning. And winning. And winning. You got to add that part. He's on his third quarterback and he's winning.
He looked better than every quarterback that got hurt. The next quarterback looked better than the last one.
It's got to be something in the water.
It's incredible.
It is phenomenal what he's doing in San Francisco. We got to talk about, you know, Brian Flores and Mike McDaniel having the same record.
We do got to get into that.
You know, so we got plenty of things to deep dive into. So we'll save some of that for the next couple of episodes. But anything else before we get out of here, Sam?
No, that's it. You be blessed.
Hey, and you be good.
All right.